You're listening to Sweat, Snot and Tears, brought to you by Netmums. I'm Annie O'Leary.
And I'm Wendy Gollidge. And together we talk about all of this week's sweaty, snotty and tearful parenting moments.
With guests who are far more interesting than we are.
Right, so hello and you're very welcome to the Sweat, Snot and Tears podcast. How are you doing, you lovely sweaty, snotty, teary-eyed lot? I'm doing good. It's my eldest birthday today, so I'm a little bit more teary than anything else. 9 whole years of being a mum to someone utterly gorgeous. Wend, are you mostly sweaty, mostly snotty, or mostly teary today?
Also mostly teary, because it was my eldest 9th birthday yesterday as well. So we're both weeping at the fact we've got 9-year-olds now.
I don't know how it happened. You blink and they're teenagers practically, but that's enough from us. I think it's time we asked our guest whether he's had any sweat, snot or tears in his house today. Mr. Ronan, oh my god, he's here with us. Keating, welcome to the Netmums podcast.
Hey, how are you?
We're good. Tell us, what's dominating in your house today, sweat, snot or tears?
I would say sweat. It's, yeah, sweat most of the time really for us. We're you know, Cooper started back at nursery, just getting him up and out of the house in the morning. When you've got a little baba, you know, we got the almost 6 months old now. So when you're juggling the two, and then I've got the radio show, I've got Magic Breakfast, and I'm doing currently hosting the One Show, and we're building a house, and everything else is kind of going on. It's, yeah, we're just kind of chasing our tail a little bit, so I'll choose sweat.
Okay, sweat is a very apt choice when you have children that young. How are they sleeping? Are they early risers? Do they get up early? Do they wake you in the night?
Yeah, well, we are very, very lucky with two kids that sleep and from a young age have slept. Cooper was 12 hours of like 6-7 weeks, as is Coco.
That's not fair.
I know. And I tell you, Coco has done it. We were worried, you know, having a second, because Cooper was the poster child. He was amazing. He slept well, he fed well, he came off the breast easy. Whatever it was, whatever we threw at him, he just adapted and was brilliant. Now, having a second after that is obviously, it's a worry. And you think, oh no, what's going to happen? And she has been amazing. If anything, she's easier. She's sleeping through the night. It's amazing.
I reckon you should have about 18 kids, and by the time you get to 18, hey, they'll just raise themselves.
No, look, that's it now. I have 5 kids, getting the snip, out the done. Jobs are good.
Well, look, there's our first line. Ronan's getting the snip. Done.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
I didn't stop talking about that in the first 5 minutes.
No, I thought the first topic was going to be coronavirus. Wendy, you wanted to ask Ronan about that, didn't you?
Yeah, what's the situation with you in terms of this dreaded pandemic? You're back on the road again. What's it like performing with coronavirus around?
Well, the thing is, there's nothing happening. I was lucky enough to do one show, which was a couple of weeks back in Newcastle, and it was a social distancing gig. It was, you know, all the crowds were in separate pens. I think maximum of 5 people per pen.
And wow, that's so weird.
It was very strange, but it was just awesome to get back up on stage and perform again. Look, I started in Boyzone 27 years ago. To perform and to sing.
It can't be that long ago.
Yeah. 1993 we formed.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, it's crazy. So, I mean, I got into Boyzone to sing and perform, not to, you know, not to be a songwriter or to be a, you know, an artiste or whatever, you know, a social media influencer, which there was no such thing as back then. It was to sing. It was to perform. It was to get up on stage. So for me, I have missed it massively, and I am so eager to get back touring again. It's not going to happen for a while, so to have that one show was great. To get back to your question, you know, we're all adapting, aren't we? We're all just adapting to our current situation. Hopefully it'll get back to normal as soon as possible, but I don't think it's going to be this side of Christmas.
No, I don't think any of us do. We're all just having to wing it. It's almost like having to just plan one day ahead at a time, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, well, a week. I mean, I'm taking it at a week. Usually you'd be taking it months and months in advance and you'd be planning tours and whatever. But at the moment, it's literally week by week.
But it is kind of refreshing not to have your calendar booked up for the next 6 months and to have to wing things a little bit. Maybe not as a performer, but certainly as a mum, I think it's nice not to have every weekend booked with every kid's party from here to the end of the earth and all of that stuff. It's quite a break for parents in that sense.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you found that, Ronan?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it's the first time in my life, well, since I was 16 years of age. sorry, that I have been in the same place for longer than 2 weeks. So for me, it was quite remarkable to be at home and to watch Coco literally develop every single day, to watch, to be there when she wakes every morning, to change nearly every nappy, and to you know, to bath and put them to bed. It was just a privilege. I loved it. I got so used to it, and now I'm back. I'm back in magic. We're back on the radio. I'm out doing bits and bobs, as I said, the one show, and I'm missing that time. Some nights I'm missing, you know, waking up first thing in the morning because I'm on magic. I miss it. I won't lie. I'm missing it. People ask, "How was your lockdown?" That's the new power phrase, isn't it? How was your lockdown? And for me, you know, it was a terrible, terrible thing that's happened on the, across the country, nationwide, across the planet. But because we had a beautiful little girl, it was absolutely incredible just to be at home. It was very special.
I bet it was. So, as a dad of five, ranging in age from 22 to just 6 months, how do you cope juggling all the work stuff you've got going on and all those dad hats? You know, Wendy and I have each got only 2 each, and they're pretty close in age, and we can barely string a sentence together as it is. How do you keep it all going?
It's tough. It's really difficult at times, but my wife Storm is amazing. I mean, she's a details person. She's very, very good at running diaries, and that's what it takes. I mean, she's amazing at that. I am absolutely useless. I'll get up in the morning, open the phone, that's what I'm doing today. You know, and we're different, but I think that's healthy, and that's what works too. You know, that's the way she works. It helps me. I'm a little bit more laid back, and, you know, at times she needs that. You know, so I guess both of us, you know, we dovetail well. But yeah, I wouldn't not be in the situation I'm in without her, that's for sure.
And how have you found parenting with each of your different kids? I'm fascinated by people who have lots of kids about whether you have to adapt your parenting style to each one because they're very different. Do you notice that things change in terms of, particularly, I guess, attitudes to dads nowadays versus when you had your older ones? How does that work?
Look, people read books and they, you know, nowadays I'll go online and follow. It's intuition, really. I mean, when I watch Storm, it blows my mind when I see her with Cooper and Coco, and you forget. Jack is 21, Missy 19, Ali's 15. You forget. It's quite a long time. You forget all the little bits and bobs of that. And I'm a bit of a worrier. I get anxious, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, but it comes to the kids and their health. And you know, I think it comes from my mother. She was a worrier, and it's just in you. You're either that sort of person or you're not. And I'm a little bit, you know, I get a little bit anxious about things and worry about the kids. And to see my wife, the way that she just naturally adapts, the way, I know it's a cliche, but that mother nature, that just that natural reaction and understanding and knowledge that women have when it comes to the children is phenomenal. And to see Storm, you know, just know, she just knows what to do and how to do it. And that blows my mind. So going back to what you asked, I think it's intuition. And as a father, it's about the type of person you are. It's about how you want your children to grow up. Do you want them to be like you, or do you want them to be different from you? And, you know, it's up to you then. Children are blank canvases, and it's very much up to you, both parents, to guide them and paint whatever picture, you know, you see fit and is right. And that's really, the early years are really, really important. And I think the most important word in all of it is love. When you show children love and they know that you're there for them, they're going to be okay. Everything the world throws at them, the good, the bad, and the ugly, kids can adapt, they can deal with it. And, you know, as long as you show them love, I think that's the word, that's the king.
Oh, that's making me quite teary, Ronan.
Oh, God, you teary to start with. Don't set them off, for God's sake. So what's your favourite age? Is it kind of cute, cuddly Coco who's still little? Or is it the kind of teens with a bit of attitude who you can take to the pub and have a chat with?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a privilege to be a parent and to watch all ages. There's difficult times when they're stroppy, when they become teenagers and they're stroppy and they answer back and they this and they that. And then there's difficult times when you're getting up in the middle of the night, and there's at different ages, there's different times, there's pros and cons. But for me, I've been lucky enough to enjoy all of these ages. It's having Coco, she's just the softest skin, she's the biggest smiles.
No.
She just puts her arms around you. It is gorgeous. It is the most beautiful age. And then Cooper, who's 3, and he's in nursery, and he's Mr. Cute, this kid. He's brilliant. He asks the most brilliant questions. you know, we're out in the garden and he asks, you know, he's just so inquisitive and I love it. I love just being part of that. And you know, I've actually, we're out in the garden. I was talking about this yesterday on the One Show. But I'm a big fan of Monty Don, right? So you know Monty
Don.
Oh,
yes, I love Monty as well.
Oh, he's so
lovely.
He's so brilliant. And he's brought out this new book called My Garden World. And he's broken it down into the 12 chapters, and each chapter is a month. And basically explains everything that's going on in your garden right now. Everything that's flying in the sky, bird-wise, what's leaving, what's arriving, what, you know, flowers are blooming. And you sound like a genius to your child.
Which is always the goal. That is always goal.
This is it. I mean, it's like, he's only three, I know. But still, I just feel like a legend. So, you know, it's little things like that at the age of three that I'm just, you know, loving. My daughter, 15, it's the same, you know, having these conversations and, you know, just being around her and listen to what she has to give. She's into her horses and at a different age. And then there's Missy, who's 19, and she's into her social media. She's a, let's call it, you know, influencer or whatever it is. And, you know, she's got these brands and we can talk, we can communicate on things, and it's really interesting. And then there's my boy, he's 21 and he's into music and production and engineering. So I just love it all. And yeah, to sit at the table and have a glass of wine with them in the evening is a lovely thing to do, and have grown-up chats when they get older. Like, every age brings something beautiful.
Do you find that your fame ever impacts on your kids? Is there an age where they suddenly get that everyone knows who daddy is? And do they mind? How does it work?
Well, no, it's not at all. It's a natural thing that they just kind of, they're around you constantly. They're around who you are. If at the age of 7 or 8 or 10, I all of a sudden became famous or whatever you want to call it, then I think it would be like that. But because it's in there every day, from the day that they're born, and that's all the way through from Jack to Coke's, it's a total normal thing for them. They probably think, you know, when they're babies, they probably think everybody's parent is the same, that everybody's parent is famous. And then as they get older, they adapt, they understand. And yeah, I think it's a normal thing.
So tell us a bit more about Coco, who we've been talking a lot about. And I must say, the picture of her that you posted on Instagram of her doing the plank is probably the most gorgeous baby photo I've ever seen. She's so scrumptious, she's so you just want to squidge her. What was it like having a baby at the start of something so huge for the world and then going straight into a lockdown? It must have been so bonkers.
Unbelievable. 4 days into lockdown, you know, that the country is in proper lockdown now. It's 27th of March. And it was unbelievable. Yeah, we were in the Portland Hospital. They were incredible. The way that they handled it all, the professionalism. I remember that one. I remember walking out to get some air, walking out onto Portland Street. And it was like a scene from I Am Legend. There was not a car, bike, nothing on the street. Nobody, not a person. And this is in the afternoon on a Saturday in London, on Portland
Street.
Yeah,
in central London. Our office is on Great Portland Street. And normally it's like Piccadilly Circus, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Jammers. I mean, cars, taxis, everything. Bikes going up and down the road. People coming from the train stations down to Oxford Street. It's usually chock-a-block. And it was like, do you know that scene when Will Smith is walking through Times Square and there's not a sinner? That's what we're talking about here. It's crazy. Wow. So, look, it was unique. The kids and Storm's mum had flown in from Australia 5 days before lockdown, which was wonderful.
Thank God she got in time.
Thank God she got in. She could look after Cooper. The older kids couldn't come in, obviously, either. So it was just Storm and myself and Coco. And it was, you know what? It was quite special. You can look at it and go, this is unfortunate. No, it's okay. You just got to look at the positives. And we were together, you know, Storm and I. It was like having Cooper for the first time. It was just the two of us, our little unit, and Coco came into the world. And then we got out to the storm, you know, wanted out to get out 2 days later. We got out 2 days later and we had the family were there and it was magic and it was gorgeous. And then we had this really special time at home. Nobody else around. It was just Storm's mum, Cooper and us, and the older kids came over later on because they couldn't travel. They were in Ireland. So it was, you know, it was different, but it was beautiful.
But it's fairly surreal having a baby at the best of times. You go in to a hospital or you have your baby at home and there's two of you and then suddenly there's three of you. So to then walk out into the middle of a Will Smith movie and just be like, oh my God, there's nobody here. Did it not just blow your mind?
It did. And you know, I remember when Cooper was born, I walked around the corner and Jack and I, my eldest, we had a pint and wet the baby's head. And it was this was totally different. I'm standing out in the street on my own. I was calling people. You know, you get tears in your eyes. You're so emotional, and it's beautiful. But we've never seen anything like it. I hope we never see anything like it again. We'll all learn from this. But my God, it was, yeah, it was very different.
So what about the births? Have you been there for 5 of your children coming into the world? And is there a best one, worst one, easiest one?
Look, they're all magnificent creatures, every one of them. And, you know, they all come into the world that they want, the way that they're supposed to come into the world. And it's fabulous. It's wonderful. I'm really blessed with 5 amazing kids. I truly am. It's a blessing. I never saw, you know, my parents, my mom and dad had 5 kids. And I always thought, wow, what a huge family. Awesome. But yeah, I don't think I'll be able. Here I am with 5 kids. You know, it's incredible. It's such a blessing. 5 healthy children in this day and age. I'm so lucky.
That's a very kind of forward thinking and mindful thing to do, though, to appreciate your luck. I think a lot of us, when we're getting caught up in that daily routine, you're a bit like, it is important to remind yourself of how lucky you are sometimes, isn't it?
Oh, look, we are so blessed. You know, we live in a great country. We've got, you know, great healthcare, wonderful. You know, we're in a very privileged position. Yes, there are people that are, you know, struggling, going through stuff. But I look at myself and I think how lucky I am to be, you know, in a position I'm in, have the best job in the world, but, you know, the best family. My wife is incredible. Storm is an amazing woman. I'm blessed. You know, you can pick on things, you know, you can find things in your life that can get you down, and we all can do it. And it doesn't matter if you've got a billion in the bank or you've got a quid in the bank. It's everyone's stress and hurt or whatever it may be. To them, it's all relative. It's all the same. And you know what? We have to find the positive in this, and we've got to get through it. We'll get through it, and we'll come out the other side smelling the roses, please God.
That's a nice way to think of it.
Yeah. We have to, don't we?
You've talked a little bit about changing nappies in lockdown. Are you a hands-on? It sounds like you're a hands-on kind of dad.
I am. I love to be. I am. I like getting me, getting me hands dirty. At the beginning, definitely, you know, I changed more nappies than Storm did, because I, you know, when Storm is breastfeeding, as a father, there's not a whole load you can do. And it's, you know, you know, there's this beautiful connection between mother and baby. And the father doesn't, you know, it's hard to find your feet and who you are in this, in all of this, and your role, let's say. So my role was to be there, to be that, to, you know, grab Coco, change the nappy, you know, put it to let her fall asleep in my arms, or whatever it may be, Storm have her time, you know, the few minutes or whatever, because you know what it's like. Those early days, it's she called herself the milk truck, because, she was just there constantly, you know, making sure that little Coco had as much milk as possible, which is amazing and it's brilliant. And the whole milk thing, it's blown my mind. You know, the education I've got on breast milk over the last, well, 3 years, I guess, but blows my mind. The AM, PM milk, you know, the whole thing and the pumping and all of that. And I didn't realize the AM, PM milk and how, and there's something in Storm's milk definitely that makes the, obviously the kids are sleeping so well that there's something in it. But I made
them sell it. Whatever it is, there are parents worldwide who'd buy milk that makes babies sleep.
Yes, well, let's get Storm pumping extra, please. All of the parents out there who have babies who are awake.
It's funny, let me tell you, because, well, you know, she was, there was so much milk being produced, she started, what do they call it, expressing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you put it away, and I, by accident, you know, because I wanted to do a feed, and I wanted to be part of it, and it was, you know, it was, we had these brilliant bottles of Medela. I don't know if you know the brand.
Yes,
I'm sure you do. You know
the brilliant.
Them all.
Brilliant.
Amazing bottles. And they're not easy, but once you figure out how to put it together, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I got the milk, and I used a PM milk in the afternoon. Oh my God. I couldn't wake her up.
Seriously? Poor little thing. So nuts.
It was unbelievable. Like, the science of it all is incredible. The human body's amazing. But this is God honest truth. And she was a good sleeper, but she was sleeping so long. And we actually had to pick her up. And, you know, they say never wake a sleeping baby. But we had to, you know, she was sleeping too long because of this milk. I was worried she wasn't going to sleep that night. So funny.
It's amazing. I might take to that on a night when I can't sleep very well.
There you go.
I think you were going to say you accidentally picked up the wrong one and poured it in your coffee. That's where I thought you were going with that one.
Oh, no, I'm sure people have done that. No, I use red wine to get to sleep at night. I think baby's milk doesn't do it for me yet.
Oh, that sounds more like it, actually.
Yeah.
Now, after all that red wine, tell us, what's a normal morning like in the Keating household? Tell us your routine.
Well, at the moment, because, well, what it was across lockdown was get up in the morning, 5:45, and host my breakfast show from the house, Magic Breakfast.
Yeah.
I would do that. And then the kids would slowly wake, Cooper first, usually around 7, 8 o'clock. And I'd be able to sneak out a radio, bring him into the kitchen, sort him out with a little breakfast snack. I'm back on radio. And then at 10, when I finish, if Coco wakes up, Storm would let me know Coco's waking up. We'll all go in, Coco get up. And then the day would begin, and that's kind of how it was every morning. Literally, as we all know, in lockdown, it was Groundhog Day. It was that every single day.
It was
beautiful.
It was.
It was wonderful, but it was that same thing every day. They were the mornings. And then wonderful summer, like the weather we had was phenomenal. So we were lucky to have a garden. We were just out in the garden all day across those early months. It was April, May, I think, when we had that, you know, incredible weather. So it was very lucky. Now that I'm back in Magic, it's different. I get up 5 a.m. and I'm into the studio, and Storm is juggling the two kids at home, which is, you know, it's much more difficult. She's well able, but it's far more difficult. I get back as quick as I can, and we start our day that way.
Do you miss it?
I do. I really miss it. And you know, Storm will send me a picture. Cox is awake or whatever, blah, blah, blah. A little picture of her face. And it's gorgeous, but it's hard. You know, I miss it. I feel very lucky and privileged that I had those months. And they were golden. But look, I've got to get back to work.
We do. Yeah. Normality has to be restored.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, we know that sadly for you and your family, your mum died before she got to meet your kids. And that's something you've spoken quite publicly about finding very difficult.
Yeah.
And we know it's something loads of our users find really hard. So how have you coped with it? What have you done to help yourself manage it?
Look, you know, you never get over something like that, especially when she was 51. She was a young woman.
She was young.
Yeah, you never get over it, but you learn to deal with it. And that's the thing, you know. Just learning to deal with it, you know, all of a sudden you start to learn to put one foot in front of the other and you just keep moving and get going. But the family and I, we set up the Marie Keating Foundation, my family, in her honor, but also because we were naive about cancer. We weren't very educated about it. We quickly educated ourselves. But the thing with Mam's breast cancer was, you know, it was one of the most curable forms of breast cancer. And if we were more aware and she was more aware, Mom would still be alive today. And that's heartbreaking. It's devastating for us. So the Marie Keating Foundation is all about, and it's in the UK and Ireland now with Cancer Research UK. Our you know, our units travel around the country. And in Ireland, we had a big fundraiser and raised enough money to get our units back on the road because we're non-government funded. So we're back on the road in Ireland as well. And it's just about education. It's about awareness. And you know, that is, for us, is very rewarding. And to have our mum's name to live on like that, in such a positive way is wonderful.
That is a very positive thing, a very positive thing. Now, we know your older children were born and brought up in Ireland, but the younger two are being brought up in London. How do you keep them connected to their Irish and actually their Australian roots as well? Is that something that you and Storm are really conscious of?
Very much so. I constantly tell him, Coops, all about Ireland and, you know, where I was brought up, etc. You know, and Storm is exactly the same with Australia. We're both very country proud. You know, we speak all the time about our, you know, in the household, it's always there. And the foods that we eat and our musical influences, whatever it may be, but it's always there. But, I've made a career here in the UK for 27 years. You know, London is home. It really is home to me. I've spent more time here than anywhere else, I think, now in the world. So even, you know, I'm here longer than I've been in Ireland. And to learn about the history here in London and the UK and pass that on to the kids is just as important to me as Ireland and Australia.
And you've got two younger kids and three older kids. It's hard enough work blending families when they're all close in age. Does it kind of just take on a life of its own, or have you had to work to keep them all part of a family and keep it working?
No, I mean, the kids are incredible together. I mean, Cooper just loves his older siblings. I mean, he worships them, and vice versa. They absolutely worship him, and it's gorgeous. And Coco, you know, she's come in into the world, and the kids are amazing with her. I mean, she's still a baby, so it'll take time for Coco to understand and, you know, so on. But Coops, and I love seeing the kids together. It's amazing. I have an amazing relationship with the children, and Storm has an amazing relationship with the older kids too. And all of that is, you know, it's down to Storm, it's down to the kids and the way they are. I stand back and, you know, I'm there in any shape or form they need me to be in. But it's, you know, it's amazing to see them all together.
That's lovely. Now, one of the things tangential to that that comes up a lot on Netmums is the issue of co-parenting. And a lot of people find that incredibly hard, or even just can't find any advice on how to get it right and what they should do. It's obviously something that you've had to do. Have you got any tips for any dads or any mums who are trying to co-parent?
The most important thing, I don't have any advice is the answer, but the most important thing is being there for the kids in any way that you can. And they are the most important thing in all of it. And, you know, I think that is the priority, making sure that the kids are okay and looking after them and as being available to spend as much time as possible with them, and because they need you and they need to know that you're there. So I don't have any advice, but that's what I think.
I think that's a great tip. That's a great tip. I think you could write a book about that. Okay, so we're nearly...
You can write a book about anything.
We're nearly at the end of our podcast, and we have one final question before we go. And I have to say, no offence to any of our other guests, but yours is the one I've been most looking forward to because your voice always makes me cry. I think it's an Irish thing. Ronan, please will you sing us your family lullaby? What is it that you sing to the kids when they can't get off to sleep?
Do you know what? Stormy has a gorgeous voice, and she actually has these little songs that she wrote for the kids. And they're just little, like 3-4 liners. And Cooper, now at 3 years of age, will turn around and say to Storm, if he's feeling a little bit under the weather or he's tired, he wants to go to sleep, and he'll say, "Mama, sing Cooper Archer." Because that's his name, Cooper Archer, Utrecht Keating. And he'll say, "Mama, sing Cooper Archer." And it melts me. I mean, to hear her singing it to him and to look at his face, it's just beautiful. And it's beautiful. But it's a very personal thing that, you know, it's cute little words that she's written for the kids. And it's just for them. She doesn't sing it to anyone else. She just sings it to them. And she's now done the same with Coco. And it's just beautiful. I love that. Just watching that. Watching Storm be a mum is just one of the most beautiful things I've ever witnessed. I love it.
Oh, that's just too much. You're setting me off now, Ronan.
So do you not sing to them then? Is it something that you leave to her?
I sing stupid songs to the kids. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I wrote this song about poop on your head and dance on the bed. Coco, and I had Coco in my arms and we were jumping around and Cooper was dancing on the bed and I was going, "Coco Keating, yes, she'll poop on your head, Coco Keating, and she'll dance on the bed." And I was like, she was sitting on Cooper's head and Cooper just thought this was the funniest. So I stupid songs. That's what I like to do, to be honest. So, yes, Storm does the beautiful lullabies and I'm the joker.
Well, you've made Annie's day by singing her something that you haven't sung before. That's it.
No one's ever heard that one.
A
so
world
that was just
exclusive.
For you.
A world exclusive.
Do you ever sing them your songs, or is that just too cliche? You just don't do it.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't sing. No, definitely no. I wouldn't do that. Not that I have a problem with it. I never do.
Oh well, it's just about pooping on your head. That's fine. We'll take
that. Yeah, that'll do, right?
Is there any more we can say after Ronan pooping?
I don't think there is any more we can add to that. We've had Ronan singing to us about pooping on someone's head.
Yeah.
I think,
but that's it. Start and finish.
There you go.
So Ronan, thank you so much for joining us on Sweat, Snot, and Tears, which we should probably rename Sweat, Snot, Tears and Pooping on People's Heads.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Very important. Lovely to talk to you. Have a brilliant day.
Bye, Ronan.
Take care. See ya. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.